Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast. My name is Garrett Lill. I'm a certified financial planner and former advisor. And I started Advisor Advocates in this podcast to share with other advisors some of the experience that I like to say I accidentally accumulated over the course of my 13-year career, especially around the areas of the industry involving transitions from one firm to the other, advisor recruiting, M&A deals, things of that nature. Interesting thing for advisors that I've experienced in my career is that advisors are often on an island. We don't really know what's out there. We don't know what's going on outside the walls of our firm and outside the confines of our own practices. Especially when I was working in the recruiting industry and talking with advisors, there were just so many advisors who didn't know what they didn't know. So the purpose of this podcast and Advisor Advocates is to help bridge that information gap, to help advisors understand a little bit more about what the landscape looks like out there, what options are available to you, and sort of share some of the insights that I've ran into and hopefully answer some of the most common questions that advisors have. On this show, we're going to take a look at what your options are when you're going totally independent. So if you are in a position now in your career where you're ready to have your own brand, establish your own flag and your own website, your own firm, you want your name on the door, there are a few different ways you can attack that in today's world. It is much easier to start your own firm and start your own independent practice now than it's ever been, really. I mean, we live in the information age where everything is at your fingertips. You can go straight to the SEC's website or your state regulator's website and learn what those processes look like. As that process plays itself out, there are also a lot of independent firms that are popping up, or these independent turnkey firms that are doing a lot of that work for you. So you have choices. We're going to break this down into a couple of different parts. I'm going to do a totally different show on starting your own RIA. If you want to register directly with your state regulators or with the different states that you need to be registered, or if you're over 100 million and you're going to be registering with the SEC, we'll do a totally different show on what that process looks like and on what decisions you're going to face and how to best navigate sort of that decision tree. That's enough to cover in its own show, so we're going to peel that off altogether. On this show, we're really going to look at the turnkey models. As it has become easier and easier and more cost-efficient to run independent practices, we're starting to see a lot of independent RIAs and independent hybrid broker-dealers starting to pop up to give independent advisors the chassis that they can plug into, where you're going to have everything you need to run your practice as an independent standalone organization, but you're a part of a larger network. Now, this isn't a totally new phenomenon by any means. I mean, independent broker-dealers have been around for a really long time. I was a part of an independent broker-dealer network in 2013, and that was by no means a new business model at that time. But if you're in the employee channel, there is a possibility. You may not be as familiar with those. So there's a lot of big firms you've heard of, and you probably know who they are, where you can operate your own practice, XYZ Financial, whatever you want to call it. To the outside world, you appear to be totally independent. You have your own website. You have your own business cards, your own logos, your own office space. Your staff is your staff. They're W-2 employees of your organization, or they may be 1099 contractors, but they are operating totally under your flag. You're just using a third-party independent IRA or independent broker-dealer to plug into sort of upstream from you, where they're providing you with the custody and clearing and the technology that you need to run everything efficiently without having to go through all of those processes yourself. Well, we'll kind of draw a line in the sand here between the totally independent RIA and the independent broker-dealers. There is a little bit of a difference there. So if you're plugging in with an independent broker-dealer, they have their own RIA that you're operating as a representative of that RIA, but you're only operating and reporting to them for compliance. They're not able to tell you which trades you can place, what strategies you can use. They are your shield, if you will, between you and the regulators. You would submit your marketing materials for them to approve, but they're usually pretty open-minded versus the wirehouses, which are all trying to sort of protect their brand. When you submit your marketing materials to your compliance for review, as long as it's legal and ethical in what you're saying and it meets all the rules and checks all the boxes, they're going to approve whatever you want to do. If you want to start your own podcast, start your own YouTube channel, as long as you're not saying anything in that content that is breaking the rules or breaking the laws of how we're able to market and advertise, they're usually going to approve it, but you do still go through that process with your independent broker-dealer or with the RIA. The distinguishing factor between the independent broker-dealers who have a brokerage firm and RIA bundled together in the hybrid there, where you have access to their RIA and a managed money platform for you to have advisory accounts, fee-based accounts. Most will also offer financial planning platforms where if you want to charge a financial planning fee to your clients, you can run your financial planning fees through the RIA and still get your standard payout on that. But they also have a broker-dealer where you have access to variable annuities products, structured notes, hedge funds, all the we can go on and on and on about different types of products that you may have available to you through a broker-dealer. But if you are doing brokerage transactions, commission-based business, those are available to you through the broker-dealer. Now, if you are, you know, predominantly or totally a fee-based practice and you don't do a lot of brokerage business or any brokerage business, as a lot of advisors are starting to migrate to more and more in today's world, you may choose to just go strictly with an independent RIA. In an independent RIA, you're not going to have access directly, at least, to those types of products. The independent RIA is only giving you the advisory platform to manage your clients' fee-based accounts and also generally give you access to some type of a billing platform to be able to submit your financial planning fees and pay schedules through for their processing as well. The big benefit of the pure standalone independent RIAs that don't offer a broker-dealer relationship or a bundled solution there is that there's going to be a lot more transparency. It's a lot cleaner as more advisors are migrating away from commission-based business anyway. What we're starting to see is a lot of the independent firms aren't bothering with getting a brokerage affiliate tied in with them. A lot of them will associate with what's commonly referred to as an RIA-friendly independent broker-dealer, where it sort of creates two different entities, right? You have a license that's held with the independent RIA, and then if you do want to do brokerage business, that RIA may work and partner with an independent broker-dealer where you can sort of serve in two capacities at the same time with two different organizations, so you do have access to that. So in that case, you're working as a representative of the independent RIA on the left hand, and then you're also, it may be XYZ Financial is your RIA that you're working as a representative of, and then ABC Brokerage, maybe a totally separate business that you are an independent representative of. So you're getting two 1099s from two different organizations. By and large, I think this is a pretty blanket statement. You're usually going to end up getting a cleaner financial picture in terms of the economics for you as the advisor and the financial breakdown of the advisor if you are with a purely independent RIA. Because, and it's not even really at the fault of the independent broker-dealers themselves. That's just a murky, nasty part of the industry right now, where there's a lot of costs associated with doing that business that they are incurring with their own regulators that they're passing along to you as the advisor. So a lot of times there are affiliation fees. There are going to be additional errors and omissions insurances that you may be paying with the second leg of that stool, where if you go directly with an independent RIA and you are, you know, running a 100% fee-based practice, the economics are usually pretty clean. They're going to pay you a percentage of your revenue as a payout, and that may range anywhere from 80% up to 100% in some cases. And then the nickel and dime additional charges that you may see are usually pretty limited, and in some cases they're all bundled together where you're not having to worry about them at all. So when we talked about in the tuck-in model, or if you're going to an independent broker-dealer, you may see a 92% gross payout, but once you pay all the different, you know, affiliation fees that are associated with it, it may be down to 86 or 87%. When you go directly to an independent RIA and you're only doing fee-based business, a lot of times it may just be a couple thousand dollars a year that you're paying for, you know, affiliation or membership fees, whatever you want to call it, so that your stated payout is a lot closer to what your true net payout is actually going to be. If you want to be a totally independent fee-based advisor, it's pretty hard to beat the economics that are offered by a lot of these independent broker-dealers, honestly, and these independent RIAs especially, because if you're running a practice, and as I was as a smaller advisor, where, you know, you're controlling all of your revenue, but you have to cover all your compliance, you've got to pay for your technology, even performance reporting, Black Diamond, Orion, some of these are really expensive programs that you're having to pay for as an independent advisor. And when you can plug in with a large organization who's got that economy of scale by having a lot of advisors under their roof, it's really hard to run your own practice for less than it would cost you to plug in with an independent network. A couple of the best ones that I have come across are, I mean, there's a nationwide firm that is totally standalone independent. There's no brokerage ties whatsoever. And you're going to be at a 90% payout north of about $150,000 in production, and you cap out at about 95% once you're above the $250,000 and $500,000 marks. There is sort of another layer of this a lot of times that is you got to watch yourself, because a lot of these firms will tack on a platform fee, and it's okay. I don't have a problem with these platform fees as long as they're not excessive, but I've come across situations where a firm may claim we pay 100% out to the advisor. So that sounds great. You're charging, 1% fee and you're going to take home 1%. That sounds great. But they'll hide in that the fact that there's a 30, 40, 50 basis point platform fee that's charged to all advisory accounts on the advisory platform. Okay, well, if I'm charging a 1% fee and my clients are paying a 50 basis point platform fee, clients are paying 150, you may be taking one, but the gap between what clients are paying and what you are taking home is not, that's not going to be 100%. Do the quick math, that's 67%. So do watch yourselves when you're looking at the platform fees. I've seen that be a really sneaky area where independent advisors plug in somewhere and their clients are now being charged these platform fees that once you tack on the mutual funds and the trading costs and all these other things, clients are coming to you and saying, we're paying 2% and you're only getting 1%. That doesn't feel like 100% payout to me. But most of the solid firms that are out there and the bigger firms that are growing pretty quickly, your platform fee is going to be somewhere around 5 to 15 basis points, I think, is an average. So you may see a 100% payout with a 15 basis point platform fee. There's another firm that I am pretty fond of and have a good relationship with that they charge a flat fee for the advisor for the custody and clearing and compliance portion of their services. And they keep the advisory fee it ranges based on what you're using the platform for. They may be 3, 4, or 5 basis points that you're paying to run your own models on their platform, where if you want to use some of their in-house models that they're developing for you, it may be 25 or 30 basis points. But if you think about that, I mean, that's worth it to a lot of advisors who don't specialize in the asset management part of their businesses. So if you're partnering with a firm in that type of a relationship, it's sort of an a la carte for the advisor to select how they want to build out their structure. You can plug in for $15,000, $20,000 a year to cover the compliance, custody, and clearing, and then sort of choose your own additional expenses. If you want to use their in-house marketing team, you can pay for that as a standalone service. If you want to use their more custom investment models, you can select to use those at your discretion. But if you want to run your practice for the lowest net cost as possible, they provide a way to do that. So if you are looking at sort of what's the industry averages as you're kind of shopping, I mean, again, it's going to be tied to your revenue production, but if you're in that, $100,000, $150,000 range, you are probably going to be netting in the 85 to 90% range. Once you are north of $500,000 in production, you should be seeing your true net in that 90 to 95% bracket. And then once you're approaching $1 million, now it's just a race to, from 95% to 99.9, depending on how much production you actually have. Because just like with a standalone independent RIA, the larger your revenue is, the larger the fixed cost number is being divided into, so that you are, if you have $10,000 of fixed costs and the revenue number becomes $1 billion, now it's pretty negligible. North of that $1 million mark, I mean, you, not to say that there aren't good firms out there that may only pay you 92% on $1 million of production, but in terms of averages and strictly on payout, what's the best deal you've got? 95 is a pretty good benchmark to be shooting for when you're at that $1 million of production and up. And really, as you get higher than that, I mean, you're 97, 98, taking into account everything if you're trying to run the lowest cost possible. Now, if you are plugging into a large independent RIA that has a robust SMA platform with a lot of in-house models and 30 or 40 or 50 different SMA strategies that they're going to give your clients access to, and you are using some of those products at a 25, 30 basis point platform fee, then obviously you're not at 97% because you're going to be using some of those other services for your clients. But it goes back to kind of what I said in the show about the tuck-in model. when you are independent and you're trying to maximize the enterprise value of your practice, it's definitely not always about what is the highest net payout to me as the advisor. You're trying to grow your brand and grow your businesses to be as large as it can be. And a 92% payout with a firm who has a terrific growth strategy that you're able to plug into and a network to partner with other advisors and grow your top line much faster and much more exponentially than you could with the, you know, I hate to say cheaper, but the more cost-effective independent firms out there, then yeah, 92% or even 87% of a really big number is more than 97% of a really small number. So you always want to take that into account. And as with really every decision you're going to make as an advisor, you have to look at the platform they provide, the tools they provide, the culture of the management, the relationships you're going to have with management, and really select the offering that's going to be the best fit to grow your practice the way you want to grow your practice. And a lot of that comes down to flexibility of management. When, you know, you may be, there may be independent firms out there you can plug into who have relationships with Black Diamond and Orion. They have eMoney Advisor, they have MoneyGuide Pro, you've got Right Capital, you've got a lot of different financial planning softwares you can plug into. And a lot of these larger firms may have multiple relationships. Most of them will always be multi-custodial. So you may be able to plug into Schwab, Fidelities, and Interactive Brokers, and some of the other well-known custodial options as well. And then with each of those custodial options, you have more and more technology platforms available to you as well. So you will want to take that into account. And also, in a lot of cases, they may not have what you are accustomed to using. And if it's important to you to be able to use it, you usually have the flexibility to add that to your practice and just pay for it yourself. And if you're a big enough firm, $5,000, $8,000 for your own technology is not a big cost. So you do have that flexibility in the independent world to add things that may not come standard with your broker-dealer or your independent RIA, but you can go out and select those for yourself, and it may be worth it to do that versus choosing a different independent firm to tie into that may offer that but may not have the other things that you need to grow your practice. And most importantly, I think when you're going independent, whether you are choosing to plug in to an independent network and use their platform or you're choosing to build out your own, these payouts sound great. You know, 90, 92, 95% of your revenue if you're starting your own RIA and controlling everything, 100% of your revenue. Don't forget to take inventory, at least, of what other expenses are going to fall on you as the advisor, because most of them are going to fall on you. You are going to have to pay for your own website. You are going to have to pay for your own branding. You are going to have to pay for your own office space. You're going to have to pay for your own staff. The interesting thing as the industry continues to grow up and evolve is a lot of these independent firms are now starting to sort of race to see who can help with these other costs as well. So I know of some of these firms that I've have good relationships with and have talked with quite a bit. They don't just give you the real estate to operate out of, but they will help with the search. They may actually provide the real estate. They may go out and acquire real estate for a group of advisors in a certain market and allow you access to it. It won't be free. You have to pay for it. But because there's the partnership there, there may be a very negligible or minimal amount that they're marking up their cost. So if they're paying $2,000 for rent, they may pass it on to you for $2,100 because that's not where they're trying to make money off of you, right? They're not a real estate company. They're just providing real estate as a perk to the other business. Same thing with marketing. One of the biggest costs a lot of firms will have are their marketing costs, and a lot of these larger independent firms now have their own in-house marketing teams that you can use their services, again, at a minimal markup so that you're not having to go out and figure it out for yourself and invent the wheel from the ground up yourself and build everything out. You can sort of plug and play into what they're already doing. In a good relationship with some of these large independents, they can provide you with the ability to have access to these other things that you're going to have to cover on your own. And it may very well be that paying to plug into what they're doing at, you know, for your real estate and your marketing and for, you know, the other aspects of your business may be cheaper than you can go out and replicate it for yourself. So it's funny, when I sold my practice, I was approached by some of the independent networks and who kind of said, rather than selling it, why don't you just plug in with us? And I stiff-armed them really hard because I thought, I don't want to go work for somebody else and I don't want somebody else telling me what to do. And then after I sold my business and I got to know some of the other independents while I was working with the in the recruiting world, there were a lot of them that I said, okay, if I had known you existed 6 months ago or a year, I would have just plugged in because it was a pretty negligible cost to associate with them versus the benefits that you were getting. So I was most likely going to be taking a little bit of a haircut on my net income to offload some of those responsibilities. Frankly, I was wrong about that. There are some firms that you could plug into that I think if you brought me $1 million practice today and said, I want to start my own RIA, but I'm also thinking about plugging into a network, I can't with total confidence tell you which will net for you the best financial end game between the two options, because it's expensive to start an RIA and run it and really run it the right way. And there are a lot of situations I think you can plug into some of these independent networks and come out a little bit ahead financially. So I think it's an interesting business model that's out there, and it's one that for a lot of advisors, when you really go through and vet all the different options in the independent space, it's pretty easy and pretty common to find a network partner that you can plug into that's going to end up netting a better outcome for you overall. So it's definitely worth examining if you haven't looked into it before. That's all I've got for this show. Thank you for listening. I will say before you go, if you do have questions, I know I try to answer some of the most commonly asked questions on the show and on the podcast, but there are certainly unique situations and unique circumstances for each advisor out there. So if you do have questions or would like to just kind of have a conversation to let me know a little bit more about some of the decisions that you're trying to make right now, happy to chat anytime. I will put my phone number, which is 919-561-2436, in the description below. Feel free to email me from a personal email if you'd like at garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com. My calendar link is also below if you'd like to schedule a Zoom call that works conveniently for you. Also, I would encourage you to check out the Advisor Advocates website. There are a lot of member resources that are available if you would like to join it. You just have to put in your name and a personal email address. Very little information that's needed to be able to access that content and resources and commentary that are available on the behind the paywall at the Advisor Advocates website. So feel free to check that out on your free time. Let me know if I can help. I will say if you would like to chat, feel free to call my cell anytime. I will not answer a number that I don't recognize, pretty much for the same reason that nobody else out there does. So shoot me a text ahead of time and let me know that you're going to be calling. It's usually a little bit more effective way to get in touch with me. But would love to chat with you and help in any way that I can. I'm not here to try to force feed anything to you that you're not looking for. Just want to answer your questions and see if we can help guide and direct you in the right place. So happy to help if I can. Thanks again for listening. Hope you have a great day.